Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, everybody. We are live, getting ready for a Steelers Today quick Q and answer, question and answer session with DK and myself.
Send us your questions, send us your comments, send us your criticisms. We're talking about Steelers versus Seahawks, 8:25 p.m. Sunday night at Heinz Field. And Eddie, I'm not going to lie, I have a really, really hard time getting geeked up for this one. With all the guys
really?
Seattle's missing. Yeah.
I think I am geeked up by it because I want to see the offense build on what they did against the Denver Broncos last week.
Well, they can build, but I don't even know that building is enough, because when you look at what the Seahawks have given up defensively, everyone's talking about the Russell Wilson and everybody that's missing from their offense. But realistically, man, that defense, Seattle's given up 450 yards a game.
Yeah. It's,
I don't care who you're facing. That's horrible.
Like I said, in my staff pick, they're on pace to be historically bad, not just bad.
And this is with a defensive minded head coach in Pete Carroll, who said this week, up in the Pacific Northwest to reporters, that he feels like we know what's wrong, we just can't fix it. That's a scary admission, my man.
Yeah, if I'm a Seahawks fan, that's not encouraging.
No, not at all. Anyway, here's how this works. Send us your comments, send us your questions, send us whatever it is that you got. Even if you feel just like shooting the breeze or whatever, pass that along too. We'll put it up here on the board and respond. And here's my man, Brian Gluck, who comes in with, is the O-line being at least steady still the key to running a successful offense? You go ahead with that one.
Yeah, I am a firm, firm believer that when you are building a team on offense, you build from the offensive line out. And if you are putting a game plan together, you game plan from the offensive line out. So if they are going to do anything against Seattle, I don't care how bad that defense is, if they're going to do anything, it's going to start with those five guys on the offensive line. And I'd love to see them build off of what they did against the Denver Broncos, because they finally gained some traction. They finally moved some people around. They finally started to impose their will a little bit. And I loved to see that. It was nice to see that again. It's been a while since we've seen that.
We could see also after the game downstairs at Heinz Field, the smiles on everybody's faces. Yep. Trey Turner walked into the press room, Eddie, like this. Mm-hmm. Najee Harris, I asked a question of Najee about the offensive line, and he lit up because as he said to me, that's actually what he was going to answer with no matter what I had asked. That's how into this they are, and that's pretty cool. I want to see them, though, not so much graft onto what they did with Denver, but reach a next level. I'm sorry, man. You facing somebody that's given up 450 yards, that's just way yep. too much here. Let's keep – we're going to try to move through these quickly here to make sure that we can get all of them here. Brent says, I married a lifetime Seahawks fan and still hear about – oh, our team cheated in the Super Bowl. Dude.
I love it.
He says he can't wait for Kraken versus Pens. Yeah, that's not for another – the Penguins aren't in Seattle for about a month and a half. And that's going to be Brandon Tanev, Jared McCann, and those guys here. But we're doing football today here. And Seahawks fans at the time, if you'll recall, Eddie took a lot of crap for, you know, not existing.
Yeah.
That was the main thing at the time, was like that they're just not that into football up there.
Mm-hmm. And it's cool. I mean, that from a, you know, just from a sports fan standpoint, it's cool to see how that grew from not existing to the 12th man and the, you know, that whole, you know, their home field advantage, you know, that it became, just as a sports fan, I love seeing that kind of stuff. But yeah, they're going to need, I mean, well, they're on the road against the Steelers today. They're this week. But with that, I hate to keep going back to it. With that defense, they're going to need all the help they can get from the fans.
Bo says he's excited. He says, I'm excited for this. I'm just hoping the running game and the offense stays the way it did the last game. No, 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 no. Do not put the bar down there for these guys. What has to happen for this football team is that they have to take off. Okay, offensively, and I understand Juju's not going to be there. I understand that that's not going to help. But today, earlier today, Zach Banner was activated. Even if he doesn't start at right tackle, that's going to add depth. That's going to add some more security at the line. Do not allow anyone to settle for just being as good as they were against Denver.
How great was that comment from Tomlin on Tuesday about, you know, about Banner being back? And I'd rather have four guys instead of six guys instead of four.
But that's how they think. I mean, that's how coaches think. I mean, they're you know, it's you know, I mean, Peter comes in and says, I'm believing in the offensive line going forward for sure. I mean, are you? Why? I mean, they just had one good game and they were kind of okay in Green Bay.
I was just going to say that.
They have to go higher.
I've said this all week. I've said it on the Mad Chad and Eddie show. I've said it in my staff pick. Anytime I've had a chance to talk about it, I've said this. They have to build on what they did against Denver. They can't leave it at what they did at Denver. They have to build off of that and keep that momentum moving and keep growing from that. That was a good sign, but it's not where it needs to end.
Well, see, Peter comes back and says, I've seen the O-line miss their blocks on the second level at the beginning of the year. Is this a byproduct of communication from the rookie center or just the old adage we've said for some time? Peter, I saw Kendrick Green, since you brought up the rookie center, hit a lot of guys at second level. In fact, he actually seems more adept at second level than he does at first level. And not even offering that as a compliment. But I think you're starting to see them grow in general here. Stephen Fox says, with Juju going down, will we see Pat Freiermuth getting more than a couple of targets a game?
I hope so. I would love to see the tight ends get involved more. I think the Steelers have something in Pat Freiermuth. I like the way that he plays the game. You said this all through training camp, and it was true. The man doesn't drop anything. I think he had one drop this season, and that was bizarre to see. He just doesn't drop the ball when it's put in his area, man. And I think they absolutely have to get him involved more.
Well, Stephen, I would take your question and I would chop off the first four words with Juju going down and replace that with the offensive line performing better. Because what the real variable here for the tight ends, not just Freiermuth, but Eric Ebron, even Zach Gentry, is that they're out there to block, man. And the reason they're out there to block is because these guys weren't getting it done. The line wasn't getting it done. If you see the line holding, not holding literally, but holding up, I should say, the way they did in these last couple of games, then you can get Freiermuth involved. But I'll tell you something else, Eddie. You know what else I wouldn't mind seeing in this equation? Chase Claypool in the slot.
Oh, man.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I love the idea of it. I mean, boy, the physical specimen that he is, he has such a high ceiling, such a high ceiling. And if he can get to that point where he's the guy, you know, he's the one. He's 6 foot, 6'4", 235, 240, runs a 4.4. He's got every measurable that you can mm-hmm. think of.
Yep.
They just need to get him the ball and let him be him. And he needs to, the one thing, if I'm going to say something bad about Chase Claypool, it's the 50-50 catches. You know, that was
got to fight for the ball, man.
He's got to be better than he's been. I think he's only had one or two that were really that he came down with. He needs to be better.
Mike Costanzo says, how important was Juju to the running game, and who can help in his absence? How much will they miss him? They're going to miss him a lot in that facet. They might miss him as much in that facet as they do as a three wide receiver or as a slot mm-hmm. wide receiver. When I was writing my column last Sunday from Heinz Field, and Eddie and I go through the video together, and Eddie sends back a clip of one run that I had requested to insert as a video into my column, and it was a Najee run up the middle, and guess who threw the biggest block? 19, cutting in like this, cutting in, and just, he didn't care if he got hurt, which was, I think, kind of what ended up getting him hurt on that one play where he had a lot of open field, and he just decided he wanted to take that dude down. They're going to miss him. Juju is not that guy. Deontay is definitely, definitely not that guy here. Let's go to my man Dana. Will Zach Banner be playing tomorrow? Or will he be on the sideline unless someone gets hurt? I'd prefer to see him eased back into the lineup myself. The O-line needs experience, depth, and health, not necessarily in that order. Dana, he wasn't made active so that he doesn't play. However, he could be, as you're suggesting, utilized his depth. And here's why I say that. Chooks would have to move to left tackle. And although he has a history of that, this offensive line that everybody, including on this, you know, in our little discussion that we're having here today, have been praising the way they've come together the last 2 weeks, you'd have to disrupt three people for that to happen. To me, I'm waiting until after the bye week to do something like that.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. You know, we're seeing movement. I don't want to do anything to, you know, upset that apple cart.
Now, Jeff Wiggins says, who do you see Banner replacing, Moore or Chooks? I'm not sure it'll replace anybody. I really don't. If he does, it'll be Banner on the right side and Chooks on the left. But I'm not so sure that he will. I think they waited until the last second to activate him just because they could use somebody else there in case a player goes down. Daniel Matos, my man, Daniel, what's up? Isn't the OL in such a dire state due to a lack of investment by the front office in the recent drafts? The last first rounder used in the OL was DeCastro in 2012. Daniel, they are guilty as charged on that count. They waited, they have waited, because it's ongoing, forever to address the O-line. Doing it in the third line, third round and fourth round isn't addressing it. Even if you hit, it's not really emphatically addressing it.
Yeah, I'm very torn on this because I love Najee Harris, and I think it's impossible not to love Najee Harris, but there's still a part of me that wonders, was offensive line not to play in the first round this year? I'm not going to complain about having Najee Harris. I mean, the kid is, the young man is an all-world talent. He's special, but they have to start addressing the O-line with real draft picks and not third and fourth and fifth round guys.
James says, all I can think is the Steelers had better not take the Seahawks or any team lightly. Keith Butler had a great line about that a couple days ago where he said he was asked basically about that. You know, worried about taking them lightly because, you know, all the injuries that they have on offense specifically. And he said, we're 2-3. Like, that's it. That's all you needed to say. Yeah. That was his answer. He could have thrown a dad gum in there and it would have been a little more colorful, but they're 2-3. Yeah. This picture, all you have to do is picture this, James, the Steelers being 2-4 going into a bye week and losing to this opponent in that state, that they're in. That's what you have to think about as opposed to taking anybody lightly here. Dennis says the Bush pick should have been O-line. Well, I mean, that's classic hindsight. What did you think of what did you think when they traded up for Devin Bush, Dennis? I mean, you can come back and answer. This isn't a one-way conversation. What did you think that night when they traded up to 10? What did you think of them moving up to get Devin Bush?
I loved it. But again, that is definitely in my I think that's in my eyes a hindsight thing. I mean, we could say, you know, we can say all we want, but you know, they went up and got their guy. So
the only time I didn't like the Devin Bush pick the first time was when I did my first interview with him. It was on the field in Heinz Field. It was after one of those night camp sessions. This was in 2019. And I remember because the idea that we all had when Bush was drafted was, oh, this is it. They got their guy to replace Ryan Shazier. Well, he's not a big dude. Bush isn't. Mm-hmm. And he was going to be a very, very different kind of player. Mike Costanzo says he's going to be a great pick. Give him time. And Dennis comes back with that night. I was happy with the pick, but O-line was already becoming a concern. Yep. That's absolutely fair. Dennis Samford. Why not leave Dan Moore alone at left tackle and see how Banner does it right? Why would Chooks be too good to play backup?
I think Banner is what he is. I don't think you're going to move him. And I think that's why,
but why is Chooks too good to play backup? I would go ask Von Miller that question right now, Dennis.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. He. Look, I was probably as hard on him as anybody going into that Denver game, or before the Denver game.
Chooks?
Yeah, Chooks. You might have been the only person harder on him than than I was.
And I really like him, too.
Yeah, but hey, you know what? Give him credit. He stepped up, plays an all-pro type player, and pretty much shut him down. He did what he needed to do.
Eric says, who is Juju's replacement? Mr. Eric is in the house, by the way. Who is Juju's replacement? The answer to me, I mean, the obvious answer, meaning on the field, is James Washington. But if you mean in terms of what his role is, Mike Tomlin addressed that this week and said it's going to have to be a bunch of people. And that's because Juju does a bunch of things well, as we mentioned earlier, with the blocking and so forth. If you mean in terms of production, though, Mr. Eric, I'm going right back to Freiermuth, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like what Tomlin said about replacing Juju. They're not looking for one specific person to replace Juju. They're going to be giving guys opportunities, and we're going to be seeing, you know, kind of different guys doing different things to replace what Juju does. And so from the production standpoint, pass catching, yeah, I think Freiermuth is that guy. I would love to see one of these receivers step up. And like you said, none of them strike me as the blocking type, but I'd love to see somebody at least make an attempt.
Jeff says, thoughts on Joe Schobert so far and his ability to cover. You know what, Jeff, my view of Schobert is I answered cynically because I'm sorry if the Jaguars deem you disposable, you deserve to show up somewhere, anywhere. With and be greeted with a skeptical eye. Schobert is not the splash guy that he was with Cleveland when he was like leading their team in interceptions. He was getting a pick every other game for the Browns. And we've seen that, but we've also seen that it's been quiet in the middle of the field against the Steelers since Bush came back, and you have Bush and Schobert with a chance to work together. Mm-hmm. You've also seen, and this has been cool, a little bit of stunting. And I wouldn't be surprised to see more of that Sunday night, meaning not just Devin Bush with the blitz, the way he had the big one last week on Teddy Bridgewater for the sack, but also getting Melvin Ingram to do that thing. And you've seen this, Eddie, where he slides to the middle and you see big number eight just takes off in there.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see the linebackers be a lot more active pre-snap.
Yeah. And I think they need to be. I think that the more they're active, the more that's going to keep offenses on their toes a little bit. You know, the NFL is such a speed game that split second that you can, and you can force an offense to think a little bit. That's where you get your edge.
No question about that here. Josh says, I'm not a Steelers guy, but I'm here for my boy, Eddie P. DK, I've been enjoying your daily shot as well. You know what, Josh? I am happy to be second in your life to Eddie. I am.
Josh is a good dude. He's from out by Ottawa, up in Canada. He's an author. He's helped Chad and I out with our show before we were with DK. Just a good dude. Josh is a great guy.
Ottawa is a top five favorite spot for me in North America. Carmel J. Macchiato, which is tremendous, asks, as much as the offense has struggled, I'm a little concerned about the defense of late, especially with pressure and consistency on third down. Highsmith or someone needs to get to the quarterback and not rely on TJ all the time. I feel like, first of all, one thing I hate, Eddie, is when readers or listeners come at me with the term free pass. Why are you giving so-and-so a free pass? Like, as if I'm like distributing stuff or whatever. I never liked it. That said, Alex Highsmith has gotten from everybody across the board a free pass. This was your premier player, performer anyway, in training camp and preseason, and we haven't heard his name called much at all in the regular season. That's got to change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you remember preseason, and I remember watching him in those first couple training camp practice sessions with pads and thinking that this dude is – he's unblockable, and it's got to change,
he's,
man.
Like, he's blockable.
Yeah, he's obviously blockable, and I don't. I mean, Do you have an answer for it? Because I really haven't seen anything that on.
He needs to play better football.
Yeah,
I don't think it's anything that's all that complex. I don't. You know, he is the one who has to figure out the path to the quarterback. That is his job. He also needs to seal the edge on the run. And when you're going against a Geno Smith, you're going to have to be aware of that. They're going to have to be aware of containing the quarterbacks. Of course, they've done a really good job of that in recent years, whether it was TJ and Bud or whoever. It's going to be – let's see him step up. Okay, yeah, and I understand he had the groin injury, but then you know what? So did everybody else on the defense. So
Smitty's, my man Smitty's groin gang has been growing by the week, and I don't like it.
Let's see what else we got here. Camille says she's also here for Eddie.
That is my aunt.
Oh, that's 2-0. I got two.
I don't know if I count family though, man. That's of a ring.
It doesn't matter. I'm being shut out here. Slim wants to know who the spy guy is on Geno. Slim, would you really have a spy on Geno Smith? Would you really do that? I mean, feel free to come back. I see you've been commenting a bunch in here. But come on back. I want to hear about spying on Geno. Just go get him. Do the same thing the Steelers do with Lamar Jackson, which is treat his run and his pass as if they're one and the same, and just come in there and collapse on him. You treat the pass rush and sealing the edge on the run as the same entity. Steven says, I'm his boy. It's 2-1 here.
Oh,
and here comes Peter. Peter comes in, and we are now officially
at a
2-2 tie. James says, no spy, play all eyes on Geno Smith. He's Geno Smith. I don't want to be a jerk here.
Yeah, it's not.
And he's a 31-year-old Geno Smith.
Yeah, this isn't we don't need to reinvent the wheel here with this. I mean, this defense has been touted as one of the best in the league. Just get after them. Rush them. Exactly what you said, DK.
Marshall says, how do you feel about the defensive line so far? You know what? I'm glad you asked, because with Stephon Tuitt being out, with Tyson Alualu being out, and some of the gimmickry that the Steelers have had to resort to, I mentioned Ingram cutting across to the inside. We've seen three outside linebackers, one of them being utilized on the inside. The guys who aren't getting the appropriate love are, to me, Isaiah Buggs and Chris Wormley, both of whom have graded really highly, including by independent rankings. If you agree with me, feel free to vote for me and pass Eddie. Oh,
there
that
it is,
3-2, just like that here. See?
Oh, man. But you know what? DL4, DK is my guy for the lead over Eddie. So I actually think you got me 4-2.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying about Wormley and Bugs. They've been good.
They've been really good. And the thing for me is Chris Wormley, because I remember in the preseason training camp, people talking about him not even being on the roster, that he shouldn't get a roster spot. I remember distinctly hearing certain Pittsburgh media guys saying that they didn't want to see anything of Chris Wormley. And so to see him get out there and play not just solid football, but like you said, grading well, playing good football, doing what he needs to do in the run game, plugging up the middle of the field. I love what I'm seeing from him. I really do. And Isaiah Bugs has been a pleasant surprise. They are not getting the credit that they deserve. And I think they're getting outshined by another defensive lineman, Cam Hayward, who, I mean, he's borderline top one or two in the NFL right now at defensive line, the way he's playing football.
Jay says protection changes seems to have affected sack production with TJ and Highsmith. Hey, too bad. Okay. TJ had two bodies on him, and one of them was a real benefit to the Steelers, because if you leave a tight end like Font in there to protect and you're taking him out of Denver's passing game, I'm sorry. I thought that was actually really dumb.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think the Steelers kind of did too, with some of their post game comments. But you just got to get there.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't see Highsmith being doubled, by the way. I really don't. I don't think there's any kind of excuses to be had there.
And DK, why would they double Highsmith when TJ Watt's on the other side of the field? So
you wouldn't. That's my point. What's his excuse?
There's no excuse there. He has to play better.
He has to play better. He's just play better football. Melvin Wiggins, we only have time for a couple more here. So if you have good ones, get them in now. Melvin Wiggins. If you have bad ones, don't put them in at all. Wiggins says, we have too much talent on offense to struggle the way we do. Well, Melvin, they started to get out of that, you know, we've only been saying for months now that none of this was going to matter. All this talent and the guys at the skill positions, if you couldn't block, and that's exactly what ended up happening.
Yeah. I saw somewhere in the comment section before, there was a question about Big Ben or Ben Roethlisberger's arm, and it all comes back to me for, like, going to your point, DK. It's all about the offensive line, because it doesn't matter if Ben throws the ball 65 yards or if he throws the ball 25 yards. If he's not getting the time for those routes to develop and for these players to get downfield, it doesn't matter how strong his arm is, because he doesn't have time to throw. With Najee Harris, it doesn't matter how good of a running back Najee Harris is, if he doesn't have holes to run through, if there's not, if there's three guys in the backfield when he gets the football, it doesn't matter. So it all starts and ends with the offensive line for me. And now that we're seeing them play better, now we can talk about the rest of the talent.
Here's our second to last question for the day. It comes from Todd Slukowski. He asks, do you think we might try more three outside linebacker packages? I want to say yes. However, I am seeing the Steelers do more and more things with Ingram where it looks like they're managing either his time or something else, okay? Remember that not all injuries or nagging stuff or bumps and bruises associated with play, as Mike Tomlin likes to call it, get reported. So I would think so, but I've also seen that Melvin has been more effective in small doses here. Our last one comes from Jeremy, who says, Highsmith had a great camp, but the production has not been there. Does Ingram need more time in the rotation? We just kind of answered that. I'm gonna hang on for one more out of that here. Braun Blackwater says, Norwood is better than I expected for a seventh rounder. I mean, he's done okay. I think they wanted Trey Norwood to be a little bit more with how he performed in camp, don't you?
Yeah. I think they expected a lot out of him. From draft day, Tomlin introduced him as the Swiss Army knife.
Right.
Right. And I think they expect him to do more than just one thing. And I'm not disappointed by what I've seen from him, but I still think that the team thinks that he could be a little bit more than he has.
Yeah, exactly. Last one for today comes from Random Guy. Should the Steelers trade for an outside corner? For anybody who doesn't know, November 2 is the NFL trade deadline. For anybody who further doesn't know, the NFL does have a trade deadline, and trades do happen in the NFL, as we've seen in the last couple of days.
Yeah.
My own thought on this is that if the Steelers make a trade, it should be still, barring other positions of direct need, meaning, like, somebody of significance goes down between now and November 2nd, I would still be looking at the offensive line. I'm sorry.
Music to my ears, DK.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That is I can't even add to that. Offensive line, man. Like, I will beat this drum until the season is over. Everything starts and ends with the offensive line. This is a good defense.
This is great.
We have a ton of skill on this offense. If the offensive line is a weak spot, it doesn't matter. None of
the
it matters.
Final word for the day goes to Antonio Jackson, who writes, "The O-line has been playing better since DK said, see the guy in front of you and block him." Antonio, I am not here to take credit for other people's wisdom. That is James Harrison all the way. That's who's being – James Harrison said football is a simple game. You beat the man across from you. That was kind of his approach, if you'll recall. Yeah. And by the way, James Harrison wouldn't have been worried about any double team or single team or anything else. He would just find a way to annihilate both of those guys, eat them alive, wipe his chin a little bit, and then go get the quarterback and still have plenty of time to do that. Eddie, this was cool. We should do this again.
It was almost a perfect half hour too, man.
Just like that. It's almost like we know what we're doing. If you missed any part of this, it's going to be wherever you watched this portion. We're also going to have the podcast up on the DKPS Podcasting Network. Make sure you give us a subscribe and a like and a good review and all that stuff. Eddie, tell them, you're a pastor. Preach, that's my brother.
Yeah, I mean, you know, let the good Lord move you to do something.
Boy, I wasn't going to invoke a deity in the process.
No, we appreciate all the support, but seriously, give us a like and a subscribe. We've got more content like this. You know, Dale and I on the during the weekdays on the South Side from on location from Steelers facility. We try to get you all up to date with that. We've got all the podcasts that are a lot of fun. So, you know, make sure DK's Daily Shots. That's the straw that stirs the drink here, man.
Oh, wow. All right, guys. We'll see you next time.